Radio Prague News. Leading healthcare experts from Switzerland shared their experiences with their Czech counterparts at a Prague conference on Saturday. The Technical University in the North Bohemian town of Liberec says it may help reduce the spread of bird flu during a possible pandemic. And over 100 people held a procession along Prague's Wenceslas Square on Saturday to celebrate 15 years of the Salvation Army in the Czech Republic. Leading healthcare experts from Switzerland shared their experiences with their Czech counterparts at a Prague conference on Saturday. Switzerland is known to have one of the best and most liberal healthcare systems in Europe. But according to its health minister, Pascal Couchepin, just like the Czech Republic, it is battling problems with the financing of hospitals and growing debt. This despite the fact that the Swiss health ministry has 600 billion crowns for a population of 7 million, while the Czech ministry has a mere 200 billion for its population of 10 million, the newly appointed Czech health minister David Rath pointed out. The Technical University in the North Bohemian town of Liberec says it may help reduce the spread of bird flu during a possible pandemic. Its technology that allows the mass commercial production of nanofibers, which are ultra-thin fibers that are just 1/1,000,000th of a meter wide, can be used to make breathing masks. Filters made from nanofibers are extremely efficient because they have such tiny pores that no bacteria or viruses can pass through. It's utilization for these purposes is already in the testing stage. The financial situation of Czech households has improved by over 10% compared to last year. This, according to a study by the Italian Unicredito Group, in which households in seven Central and Eastern European countries were reviewed. Results suggest that Czech households are currently the richest in the region, but those of Poland and Slovakia are quickly catching up, growing faster than the Czechs. The study looked into bank savings, stock and bond investments, and also life insurance policies, but left out calculations of the real value of properties such as cars, land and real estate. And over 100 people held a procession along Prague's Wenceslas Square on Saturday to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Salvation Army's activities in the Czech Republic. The organization, which is dedicated to helping the needy, used to be active in Czechoslovakia before the Second World War, but was banned when Nazi Germany occupied the country. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the program, Mailbox, Pavla Horáková's weekly session over your letters. So if you've sent in any questions or comments recently, keep your ears wide open. That's followed by Letter from Prague, a personal view of life in the Czech Republic this week, as perceived by Brian Kennedy. And although spring is far away, you won't feel the cold if you listen to a love poem by Karel Hynek Mácha. This week's Czech Box is devoted to Poetry Day in the Czech Republic. But first, let's open your mail.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. First of all, thank you for the emails and greeting cards you sent us for the national holiday of October the 28th, the anniversary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia in 1918. For example, Nadia Alkon from Israel sent us a beautiful e-card. On that day, we broadcast a special program dedicated to patriotism in Czech music. And on that subject, Mr. Theodor Shepetitsky from Ottawa, Canada, sent us this query.
My question stems from a very interesting special news report about Czech patriotic music on October the 28th. I found the article to be very informative, concise, and well written. Much of the history associated with this subject was new to me. However, since no author or authors are credited for it, I wondered whether such special reports are joint ventures by perhaps more than one person, or is there some other reason?
Well, if you look up the story on our website, you can see the names of the authors, David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson, at the top of the page. I don't see how it would be possible for the names not to appear there, simply because of the way Radio Prague's internet system works. The articles are saved automatically under the login name of the reporter who's saving them. I asked our internet team whether something like that would be possible, for example, due to some quirk of the network, but they could not think of any such situation. So if you could not find the names there last week, it is a mystery. Otherwise, we have no reasons to hide the identity of our reporters. Last week, we also reported on the ruling of a Prague court, which said Prague's monumental St. Vitus Cathedral belongs to the Catholic Church and not the Czech state. We got an email from our listener Victor Ling, who's Chinese and listens to us in Canada.
You discussed whether the cathedral belongs to the church or the people. I'm a Catholic, but I think St. Vitus Cathedral should belong to the people. The cathedral was built by Emperor Charles IV, who used public money to build it. The same goes for the romantic Charles Bridge. It belongs to the people to walk across it and enjoy the beauty. Since most Czech people are non-Catholic, the minority Catholics cannot afford such a splendid cathedral. Let all people admire the wonderful art and historic heritage.
Thank you for that comment, Mr. Ling. And let us now return once more to a letter we read from 2 weeks ago that was sent to us by a listener from Australia and sharply criticised the state of ethics and morality in the Czech Republic. Andrew Drowell from California sent us this reaction to it.
In regards to the comments about crime in Prague from Australia, I've been coming to the Czech Republic for 10 years and have never had anything stolen or been accosted on the streets. I'm good to be robbed once or twice a year in the U.S., either my home or car. Prague is probably indicative of similar crime in any large city, yet I don't believe it's any worse than anywhere else. The natives have always told me to watch my wallet in the metro, but I've never had any problems. Counting the proper change from street vendors is another issue.
Thank you very much for those comments and valuable feedback, and please keep those emails and letters coming. And now it's time to announce the winner of last month's mailbox competition. We asked you to tell us the name of a Czech-born rock musician who was born in Prague in 1948 but left for New York with his parents, where he later played alongside Patti Smith, Iggy Pop and John Cale. After the fall of communism, he returned to his native Prague, and at present he's a songwriter, film composer and a sought-out producer. And the answer is not Jan Hammer, as some of you wrote. Remember, we had Jan Hammer in the competition last year, but it is Ivan Král. And here are some of the answers. This one came from Evelyn Coviello from New York.
It took some detective work, but I figured out who collaborated with Iggy Pop and Patti Smith. The answer is Ivan Král. This genre of music is before my time, and I'm not aware of his contemporary work. I cannot claim any prize to knowing the answer, because I didn't. So this deserves to go to someone who is acquainted with Mr. Král's compositions. I'm wondering how popular he is in the Czech Republic. I think I'll seek out some of Ivan Král's music. I saw a photo of him, and he's quite hot for being 57.
And David Eldridge from England even sent us a link to a MIDI of one of Ivan Král's songs.
Ivan Král has two well-known songs, Bang Bang and Dancing Barefoot. A MIDI of Dancing Barefoot I can't find. I love MIDIs, the way in which they struggle to pretend they're something they aren't, real instruments.
And the winner this month is Colin Law from Auckland, New Zealand. Congratulations, and your prize, an album by Ivan Král, is in the post. And before we announce the competition question for November, let's hear a bit of Dancing Barefoot by Patti Smith and Ivan Král.
Oh, honey, don't do that. Oh, baby, stop that. Here I sit, drinking wine, waited for you, it took some time. Oh, honey, don't look at me like that.
Dancing Barefoot by Patti Smith and Ivan Král. And now for our November question. We are looking for the name of one of the founding fathers of the world-famous fast food chain McDonald's. Born in Chicago in 1905, the son of Czech immigrants from the town of Plzeň, he tried many jobs before he met the brothers Dick and Mac McDonald. He went into business with them and acquired franchising rights to open a McDonald's restaurant of his own in 1955. With the opening of his first franchise, he founded McDonald's Corporation. He died a multimillionaire in 1984. Please send us the name of the man by the end of November to the usual address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, Czech Republic, or English at radio.cz.
Every time I see you, I just cry. Want you so bad. Here I sit, play my guitar. Here I sit, it took some time. It don't mean nothing. Some strange music turning around. I called for you, I said, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Pavla will be back with more letters same time next week, so if there's anything on your mind, don't hesitate to send her a line. You can even answer Brian Kennedy's letter from Prague.
Czech voyeurs who have grown weary of watching their fellow citizens monkey around in the primetime reality TV shows Vivoleni, The Selected, and Big Brother these past weeks will soon be able to sneak a peek at the private life of another group of primates. The Prague Zoo has announced that as of this Monday, live webcasts of one male gorilla, two females, and a youngster will be shown on public radio internet. Uncut scenes from the daily life of the apes will soon be screened also on public television. It's a meaningful alternative to people reality shows, the zoo said in a statement. The Prague Zoo was hit hard by the summer floods of 2002. Dozens of animals perished, and the zoo has since embarked on numerous creative campaigns to boost attendance and raise funds. There have been gorillas in Prague since 1963, whereas the first reality TV shows only appeared on the scene this year. In both Vivoleni and Big Brother, which do much to dispel remnants of the myth that Czechs are a nation of intellectuals, viewers get to vote on whom to boot out of the tribe. My choice would be D, all of the above. I imagine most people feel sorrier for the great apes penned up in the zoo than their cousins with opposable thumbs, who are now on exhibit 24 hours a day purely by their own volition. But whoever survives the Vivoleni selection process will walk away with some 11 million crowns in prize money, enough to buy an apartment house in a posh Prague neighborhood. Viewers of the Prague Zoo reality show, too, will be asked to vote for their favorite primate. The money raised from SMSs, mobile phone text messages, will be directed towards an existing zoo project to help save gorillas in their natural environment, most likely in Cameroon, West Africa. The prize for the most popular gorilla will be 12 melons, a pun on the Czech slang substitution of melon for six-digit numbers when talking about large sums of cash, as in, if Vladko wins Vivoleni, he'll get 11 meloni. Human nature being what it is, my guess is that the most popular gorilla will prove to be little Moya, the first ever born in this country. Moya's name means the first in Swahili. The youngster's sex, as dedicated Radio Prague listeners will remember, has yet to be determined. Moya is either a bit lacking in the King of the Jungle department, or has gotten into the medicine cabinet of the former East German women's weightlifting team. Tune in next week.
Brian Kennedy with this week's letter from Prague. And now, as I said, forget the cold, close your eyes and think about love in May. This week's Czech Books with David Vaughan is devoted to poetry.
Hello and welcome to Czech Books, and this month sees two very significant literary anniversaries of the great Czech romantic poet Karel Hinek Macha, who was born 195 years ago and died in November 1836. So let's start the program with his great and very well-known lyrical epic of love and death, Mai or May. Here's a short extract.
Late evening on the 1st of May, the twilight May, the time of love, meltingly called the turtle dove, where rich and sweet pine woods lay, whispered of love the mosses frail, the flowering tree as sweetly lied, the rose's fragrant sigh replied to love songs of the nightingale. In shadowy woods the burnished lake darkly complained a secret pain, by circling shores embraced again, and heaven's clear sun leaned down to take a road astray in azure deeps, like burning tears the lover weeps.
So those were the opening lines of Karel Hinek Macha's great romantic poem, Mai, May. And Macha is also the inspiration for a poetry festival that is taking place here in the Czech Republic. And the festival's main organiser is somebody who regular listeners to Czech Books will know very well, because she often presents this programme, Bernie Higgins. Bernie joins me now in the studio. Hello.
Hello, David.
Tell us a little bit of basic information about the festival.
This is a poetry festival which is now in its seventh year, and it was launched in 1989 as a poetry day when the Poetry on the Metro scheme started. I started this with a friend, and we wanted to...
That was with having poems up in the metro so that people who were travelling to work or whatever
That's
could read
right.
poetry.
That's right. And we decided to have a sort of celebration on a day, and so... This the first poetry day was born, and we decided to have this poetry day on the anniversary of the birth of Macha, because he's such an important person for Czech literature, and he really is the Czech national poet, and we thought that it was a good day to choose as a sort of inspiration for the celebration of Czech poetry.
And so what sort of festival is it? I mean, poetry takes many forms, many shapes and sizes, doesn't it?
It does, and this is sort of festival. It isn't, it's now in its seventh year, as I say, and each year it's grown quite a lot. And now, in fact, we have activities in Prague and 25 other towns in the Czech Republic. It's a sort of festival that is really very inclusive or open, I should say, because we don't only have big name and well-established poets, though we do have these. We also have activities going on in libraries and schools. And
can you give a couple of examples, maybe?
Well, yes, there's a couple of schools who've been doing their own thing for Poetry Day for the past years. In Trutnov, in
which
the mountains.
Is a small town just in the Krkonoše Mountains.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
And they, every year, they do something for Poetry Day, and they spend the week encouraging the kids to bring their poems on the theme of this year's Poetry Day. And then they have an evening where the parents are invited to bring along their favourite poetry. So it's very much a way of the school doing something with poetry in the community. Or there's another school in Vlachovo Brezy.
Small town.
Yes, a very small town. And they also have fabulous activities. And in Znojmo, for example...
that's in South Moravia.
That's right. The town library has a whole week of activities based around poetry. So this is, for me, this is a very nice part of the Poetry Day, that particularly children can feel connected to this sort of broader poetry community, if you like, and they can join in a festival where we also have well-established and published poets.
And given that the Czech national poet Karel Hinek Macha is the spark for the festival, there are quite a few events that are in some way connected with him as well, aren't there?
That's right. For example, in the town library in Jičín, they have an evening celebrating Czech 19th century poetry as a whole. Another couple of activities have been inspired by, and they have such titles as In the Footsteps of Macha. And on the actual anniversary, the 16th, we will be making a sort of sentimental pilgrimage to his statue, which is in the on Petrin Hill in the centre of Prague, and we'll be reading poetry there and taking flowers and really just commemorating his important existence. Yeah.
That's the place where romantic couples always come on the 1st of May, isn't it?
That's right, yes. Well, we've thought that we can start visiting in November too and celebrating his literary achievement.
So let's hear a little bit more of a very well-known translation of My May by none other than the English writer Edith Pargiter. Which extract shall we hear?
Well, it's a very dark poem which focuses on existential problems of life and death. So I think maybe if we have an example of the sufferings of the main hero who's in prison about to be executed.
Out of heaven a star falls questing, dying through the wastes of space. Endlessly it falls unresting through its endless resting place. From the unbounded grave wild crying beats at heaven with bitter breath. Is there then no end of dying? Nowhere, never an end of death. Around the white tower breezes shiver. Beneath, the whispering wavelets quiver. On the blanched walls in silver glance, the argent moon sheds radiance. But deep within the tower is darkness only, for the clear moon's pale wealth of light through narrow window into the cell gropes lonely and dims into the assault of night. Column by column the somber vault's recesses melt into darkness. The entering wind sighing circles the cell like murdered felons crying and stirs the prisoner's tresses. Beside a table hewn of stone, his head upon his hands inclining, half sits, half kneels this wretched one, to deeps of thought his soul resigning. As clouds the moon's face veil and cover, he draws their web his spirit over, thought into thought flows, undesigning.
That was another extract from My May by Macha in Edith Pargiter's translation. Let's go back again to the present day and to the festival. Now, the festival isn't just about Czech poetry, is it? There's also an international and multicultural element to it, isn't there?
Over the years, we've worked with poets from other countries, and I'm always very happy to have this international section. And this year, we're working even more closely with the Multicultural Centre in Prague, who are having a so-called dialogue of cultures. And for 2 days, we will be cooperating with them, and on one day we have a fabulous programme of international poets. For example, there are three leading Latvian poets who are visiting. This is in anticipation of the fact that next year Latvia will be guest of honour at the Prague Book Fair, and there'll also be an anthology of Latvian poetry in Czech.
So that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because these are two smaller countries,
yes,
which have recently joined the European Union, not,
yes,
so very far away. And so quite interesting to look at to what extent Czech audiences will identify with Latvian poetry.
I think this will be fascinating, and not only are they really the best of contemporary Latvian poets, but the reading will be not only in Latvian but also in Czech and in English. And apart from the Latvian poets, we have poets from Spain, from Hungary, we have a Sorbian poet. And
that's
then,
from the Sorbian minority in eastern Germany.
That's right. And we'll also have, I think, a very interesting section when we will have a British performance poet, Nicholas Makoha, and also a Czech performance poet, Tomáš Mika. I think this will be a very interesting sort of combination.
The festival is taking place from the 9th to the 22nd of November,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
some of the events are in English, or partly in English, aren't they?
Yes, the two visiting British poets, Nicholas Makoha, will be giving a number of readings. One of them will be in Prague in a huge cinema. This is a special reading for secondary schools. And Patrick McGuinness will be reading at a number of venues too. And also, of course, the Latvian poets, again, their readings will be in English. So there is something for English speakers too.
And the festival does also have its own website. So if you want to find out more, it's all on the website. What is the address?
The address is www.volny, that's V-O-L-N-Y, /Denpoezie, Denpoezie. That means Day of Poetry.
And it's all one word. Anyway, Bernie, thank you very much indeed for joining me today and for telling us a little bit about this festival. I shall certainly be very much looking forward to it. That's all we have time for in today's programme. Of course, you can find the programme as well in text and sound on our website, www.radio.cz, where we'll also include a link to the Poetry Day website. Thank you very much for listening, and do tune in again. From me, David Vaughan, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Thank you.